direct our heart to God. So again, encourage Kyle. Give him some encouragement as he comes up on the stage today. We're giving God the glory for what he's doing in your life. Let's pray over him as a prayer for message. Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory today. Any applause we have in this place is the work that you're doing in our lives, in our people, in the worship, as we stand in the midst of the natural and the supernatural that you bring, and you show us your glory. Father, I thank you for Kyle's life. I thank you for what you've done in his life. For 6 years ago, when you called him to be a follower of yours and he gave you his heart to you, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of the work that you're doing in his life and that word that you've placed on his heart that comes to us today. We pray our hearts will be open to the fullness of that word and that it will multiply like seed in us and bear great fruit. We love you and we give this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Well, again, good morning, Christ the King. It is really great to be here, and especially in fall now. I see some fall clothes. Is that anyone's favorite season? Anyone a fall kind of person? Wow, we got a lot. We got a lot. That's awesome. And like Craig was saying, recently moved over from California, but I had the opportunity to first come to CTK and to Charlotte 4 years ago in the summer just of 2014. And it's just been an amazing, amazing journey. But my first fall here in Charlotte, and I'm enjoying it. Getting used to the temperature drops being from California, but definitely enjoying it. And so I recently had the opportunity to actually have a short trip back to California. And there's a picture of my family and I here at a vineyard. And so my two older sisters, my mom and dad, my brother-in-law in the awesome shark shirt, and recently new nephew, baby Lucas. Lucas Daniel Turnbloom, about gonna be 2 months old pretty soon. And it's just amazing to see what God can do, especially in young children, when we are limited to what we are capable and incapable of doing, and when God's caring for that child in the womb, it just stirs in amazement. And I was learning for the first time the bobbleheads that young infants can have and how to be careful around that. But it's just amazing to see that. And especially today, talking about the awe of God in families. And it is pretty funny how, you know, I'm a 22-year-old young man talking about families and a little bit of parenting. But the amazing thing about it is that there was a word I got from our God in July, and I didn't know the opportunity I was going to have to share this word. And then it was specifically on families. And then actually when Pastor Craig brought up that we're going to be doing a series on awe in mid-August, I was sitting right in the front row and the Holy Spirit said, Kyle, I want you to preach during that series. And I'm like, well, okay, but I can't just go up and say, hey, I'm going to preach that series. How's that supposed to work out? And then a few days later, Craig texts me and goes, hey, Kyle, what do you think about, and I didn't tell anyone. Craig mentioned, what do you think about preaching in October? And I go, well, what's the series? And then he says some other answers, and I have to keep asking, well, what's the series? What's the series? Is it on awe? And he goes, yes, it's on awe. And I'm like, well, awesome. God is all over this. So I'm really, really excited. And like he said, all glory to God about what he's been doing. And to share a little bit about myself is that I didn't come from a Christian household, and God has definitely brought his awe into our household and into our family, as you just saw. And I do remember, though, going to Sunday school a few times, and how that worked out was that I used to sleep over at a friend's house in elementary school, and if I slept over on Saturday nights, I'd have to bring a nice button-up shirt to come and go with the family to Sunday school. And I remember going a few times, and it didn't really click that well for me. I remember hearing stories about God and miracles in the Bible, but it was just like I was still on the outside. I didn't actually know him. But I can recall the first time that there was an awe within my heart for God. My oldest sister, Kara, 7 years older than me, and she wanted to be baptized when she was about 14 years old. And so she was baptized at our local church, and we all came with family and friends back to our house to have a celebration. And when we came back, I can't remember to this day what the preacher was talking about, but I know it was about God's work because it stirred a curiosity in my young elementary school boy heart. And so when we went back home, I actually snuck away from the celebration we were having, and I ran upstairs. And our family used to have this big, thick Bible, if you know what I mean, and old, you know, thick bound and gold pages and everything. And being a young boy, I wanted to flip through it and understand what the preacher was saying, but I just wanted to see the pictures, honestly. And so I flipped to the first picture I could find, and it was an old European painting of Jesus on the cross. And I just remember seeing Christ on the cross with the slice in his side. And to this day, I remember the two thoughts I had was, why are they killing this man? And why does he look so peaceful and holy? And from that day, there was a curiosity, and I would even sneak away sometimes to go and find that Bible and flip and find that picture again, and I would just stare at it just in complete awe of what was going on in that very moment. And come to find out, it's because of that moment why there's reconciliation. And so the theme verse that we've been talking about in this series on awe comes from Psalms 33, verse 8. Which reads, let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants stand in awe of him. And to summarize a little bit of this series, Craig's been talking about how awe is meant to be vertical, not horizontal. But sometimes we get distracted by the horizontal things that can take our awe. And he's also mentioned that our hearts will shape our identity and our direction in life. And lastly, one more piece I want to mention is that, talking about parenting, he mentioned that parenting can be done by law or by grace, and it's our choice to choose. And so those are the things I want to be hitting on today, how vertical awe affects our horizontal behavior and relationships, how it goes to our hearts, and how it affects families. And the thing is that this points us to a problem. As we've talked about horizontal awe, it points us to some tension. Well, it's easy in families or in church to expect Christian things from those who haven't followed Christ yet, to expect a Christian behavior from an un-Christian. And so with that, it's easy to put the law of God before the awe of God, thinking that maybe knowing God's commands is enough, or trying to raise others up into living a Christian lifestyle is enough, or teaching them about God is enough. But sometimes that just sticks to the head, and it may not go all the way down, but then sometimes it always does. And so I want to refer to Proverbs 3, verse 1. Which says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So it clearly says it's our heart that keeps God's commands. It's not our head. But we can get so focused on the head knowledge of God. And so what God is saying is that God has actually designed us to put the awe before the law. And if you remember anything today, may that be it, that God has designed us to put the awe before the law. So as we talk about families and how the awe of God in us affects those around us, well, we think with families and raising up those in the Lord is reaching the next generation, but does it mean that, you know, parents or grandparents are the only ones who can teach about God's awe? Clearly not. It sounds silly when we think about it like that. You know, for the younger generation to have to wait for another generation to rise up to then tell others about what God has done? Well, no. We can all start today. And from Psalm 145, verse 4, the
verse for this message. If you would all read it with me, it says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." So we can all do this, and it starts today. But the tension is that maybe we've been reconciled with God, but we actually haven't been reconciled fully with others yet. Or maybe we want to be reconciled with others before we're reconciled with God. Sometimes this is revealed when maybe we thought those who knew about God maybe have left the faith, or it didn't go as deep as we may have wanted or expected. Sometimes it hurts, and sometimes maybe it's those within our own household or our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so maybe this reveals that our hearts have become in awe of something else. I want to suggest these two things. Is that it might be in the awe of self. And to give an example, I grew up in the Bay Area, and it was a very self-sufficient, driven city and culture. And a lot of, you know, athletes and wealthy people working in San Francisco and business startups would live in this city. And so it was easy to get influenced by just a culture of success. And my dad actually fulfilled the American dream, if you will. He didn't have much and started his own business in his 20s and worked his way up, you know, for the first year, not really having any pay. And then worked his way up from there and, you know, made it, if you want to call it that. But my dad recently shared with me something, is that it led to an unfulfillment in his heart that he never thought it would have. And he wasn't doing it to have a fulfillment in his heart, but he thought it would have meant more to him. It would have felt better. But ultimately, in the book on awe that we've been referring to by Paul Tripp, he says that trying to fulfill our heart with things of this world is like trying to empty a sinking boat with a strainer. That's a great illustration. Just trying and thinking you've got it, where ultimately there's stuff left behind. And so perhaps our hearts are driven by awe of self and awe of wealth in today's culture. And so that is that horizontal that might take us away from the awe of God. And it was easy for us to get caught up in the awe of money too, based on what you could accomplish socially and together, and even with you know, our career paths. I remember being in high school and starting to think, all right, I'm gonna graduate soon. So is this all life's about? Just being told to graduate, go to a good school to get a good degree, then get a good paying job, have a nice family in a nice, you know, well-paying job in a nice area where no one can get hurt or there's no danger, and then have a nice funeral. And I'm just thinking, like, what do I want to pursue after high school? And what am I going to pursue? Because I was driven by a culture of wealth and success in ourself. And it changed when I was in college, where I was studying psychology, and that was my path. And then God kept revealing over and over and over again that he wanted to switch my studies to better equip me for what he had in the future. And he was telling me to study in Christian ministries, which was the practical theology side of things at my university. And I remember sitting in my backyard talking to my parents about feeling I need to transition my studies. And my dad, him and I laugh about this now, but the first thing he said is, "Kyle, you know there's no money in that field, right?" And I just said, "Yeah, so what?" Our family was shifting from this awe of wealth that we were accustomed to being in awe of God's work instead. And so I want to ask us today, what pressures influence you to make your decisions other than God? Maybe it's selfishness, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's busyness, Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's an unreconciled relationship. But what pressures or temptations influence your decisions other than God? And then, not to sound so negative, so now how do we actually get free from these negative influences that none of us want in our life, but they seem to remain there still? Well, it may not always work just teaching about God or trying to learn the head knowledge about God, but how do we get out of it? And maybe in this series on awe, you felt, okay, I've heard the teaching on awe, and I want to be in awe of God, but you know, I want to step outside and see the trees and just start worshiping God of how he can do such a thing and turn the green to brown to yellow to brown leaves again. And I want to stand in awe of him, but maybe it only lasts a couple days and it doesn't stick. It doesn't remain. Maybe because there's something deeper holding us back. Well, Deuteronomy has a great outlook on this in command. From Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 to 16, it reads, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul, and keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belongs the heaven and heaven of heavens, and the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers, and he chose their offspring after them." So now we're talking about families and generation to generation. "He chose you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn." And so he mentions, love the Lord your God with your heart before he mentions, obey my commandments and observe my commandments. And so again, it's the awe before the law. He's saying, put that awe first, and then the observance of the law will come later. But we are not slaves to the law, but now we are free in God's grace to stand in awe. And then it mentions that funny thing, circumcise your hearts. Well, what is God getting at for Israel? Well, back then for Israel, the circumcision was more of a sign of being set apart from the surrounding nations and a state of belonging to God. But today, it's more about cleanliness and about physical health than it is belonging to God. And so what's the modern day comparison to what God is doing with the circumcision of the heart? Well, it's actually baptism. And when we think about it, the struggle in the church with, do you need to be circumcised to be saved? And now today, do you need to be baptized to be saved? Compares. And it's like being baptized without giving God your heart or your life. And that's what he's saying. Before you do those things, before you want to look like the people of God, act like the people of God. Before you have to obey the law, stand in awe. And Jesus affirms this in Luke 10, verse 27. He reminds us to love God with our heart first, and then our soul, strength, and mind will follow. And sometimes in the morning, I don't know if this has happened to many of you, but I get out of bed way too fast. I set my alarm way far away from my bedside, so it forces me to get up out of bed, or else I'll just stay in that comfort zone. But when I get up too fast, I just get black over my eyes and I start seeing stars and I can't see anything that's in front of me because I've gotten up way too quickly from my position. And what's happening there is that there needed to be more blood flow from my heart to my brain. And so when the heart recorrects that, it starts pumping more blood to our head to prevent us from being dizzy, lest we fall or don't see what's in front of us or temporarily lose that vision for a few seconds. Well, God is saying to reset, to circumcise the heart so that we can have a healthy mind. Because maybe we want to, but we get up too quickly and we try and do the observing and the teaching of the commands without having that healthy heart to get us there. And so, to sum it up, our minds for God are actually based upon our heart for Him. And where our hearts point us to is a heart that hasn't been changed by God, a heart that doesn't belong to God. An uncircumcised heart will actually point us to unreconciled relationships with maybe God, but especially with those around us. And maybe we felt like with those around us, maybe it's our family of kin, maybe it's those within our family of God, is that, well, Kyle, it's too late to change that relationship. Or maybe they were the one to hurt me, or I don't know how to, you know, deal with this. But there's hope in all of this, because there's awe before the law. And there's two things that I want to challenge us to today. Is the first is to pray for a circumcision of our heart to belong to God and God alone, and no longer those things on our horizontal plane. Because then He will cut away any hardness, maybe any bitterness that we hold in our hearts, which point us to unreconciled relationships. My dad and I had an unreconciled relationship for 5 years. He had made a mistake that had a lot of effects on our family when I was a young teenager. And from that, he was my hero at that time, and I was devastated, and I was thinking, well, how could someone make such a mistake or do so much damage? But I actually now wanted to make his life harder than it had to be. I wanted to do everything I could to get under his skin. And because at the root of that, I had anger and bitterness in my heart, which pointed me that our relationship wasn't reconciled and forgiven yet. And that lasted for 5 years. And if we think that our hearts are perfectly pure and made new and always remain perfectly pure, well, God says in Jeremiah 9:26, even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. An entire nation who was set apart and circumcised for God, He's saying, well, it's actually that nation who doesn't have it in their hearts. And so before we say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm good to go, or I've been going to church, or I was raised in the church, I'm good to go, we can evaluate ourselves. And with my father, God ultimately kept pushing me to initiate reconciliation, but I had the excuses to give back to God. Well, God, it wasn't my fault. Well, why do I have to initiate it? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Well, I just don't want to. I still want to stay angry and sulk, you know? And we do that easily. We think we either allow excuses to lead to doubt or to lead to disobedience sometimes. And I ultimately knew I had to, but I didn't want to. And the amazing thing was, God kept pointing me back. And when I was a freshman in college, there was one week where He was speaking over and over again through my professors, in my lectures, in classes, to initiate reconciliation with my dad. And so we ultimately had that phone call, and we were both crying, and there was freedom, and God was initiating forgiveness and healing through that time. But where are we in that? And where are those around us in regards to that? Because ultimately, before we plant the seed of awe in others, we have to plant the seed in us. And for it to stick, it has to go beyond our head to our heart. And so through that, our actions will show if we stand in awe of God. And the tough truth is that if we don't reconcile with God and others, we may actually prevent others from coming into God's awe. And the second challenge I want to give us is that we may initiate reconciliation within our families. And what comes to mind for you? Is it that family of God? Is it that family of kin? Is it the other family that God has established for you? But it's easy to wait for others to initiate, and that's often where the excuse for me came from. It's not my role to start it, or I don't want to be the one to initiate. But I encourage this church, can we start today? And this is so valuable to our God, because in Matthew 5:24, Jesus says, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and actually go. Go and first be reconciled to your brother and to your sister. And then once that's done, come back and give your gift at the altar." And so we see God's value of reconciliation within our own relationships. So much so that he says, "I don't want your gifts first. I would rather have you guys have healing in your own relationships first and then come back later." But that's actually, based on that passage, one of the reasons why we have the greeting with each other before we give the offering, so that it can leave room for reconciliation before the offering is given. And how many times have we given offering, given gifts, or done the works for God without wanting to go and initiate reconciliation with a brother or with a sister? How many offerings have we given? But it's not too late. It's the day to lay the excuses at the altar instead and to go, because change will come. I promise you that. I went from being angry from my dad to now every conversation we've had, we can confirm and positively say for 5 years, God has been in the midst of every single conversation, and not just in the midst of every conversation, but he's been the subject of every conversation, where now we want to talk about, what's God doing in your life? What's God doing in your life? Oh, God did this that past week. Or just talk about God and ask questions with each other. And that anger and bitterness went away to where now I wanted to be there for him more than I wanted to make his life tougher than it had to be. Because there was rough parts within my heart that had to be cut away and designated so that I could belong fully to God instead of just a little bit. And then when that awe of God came, I actually saw the awe of God in the rest of the world, in the rest of my relationships. So when the awe of God was now planted in my heart, I saw the world in a new way. And instead of the awe of myself, instead of the awe of pursuing wealth, God came in and put me in an awe of him. Because ultimately, when we think about reconciliation, it just points us right back to the cross. That's the only way, the only reason, the main motivation for reconciliation. And maybe we also, like I said, want to reconcile with others, but not with God yet. Well, we can be reconciled with God today, whether it's deciding to follow him for the first time or renewing the covenant with God. And also, my sister, when she was baptized, that planted a seed in awe in me that none of us ever expected. And it directed our family to actually commit ourselves to that one church that she was baptized to, and to serve and belong and be led by that one local church. But it, beyond just serving or being a part of a local church, it put an awe in me to learn about Christ, to see why is there something so unique about that painting of the crucifixion of our Lord hanging on a cross. Well, because that's how we received reconciliation with God and with others. And so I promise us today that we will not only be in awe of being reconciled with God, but now we will stand in awe of being reconciled with others. Another way to put it, you know, that vertical awe now affects and changes our horizontal plane, our horizontal behaviors, our attitudes, and most importantly, our relationships on our horizontal level. And so can we be the ones to initiate that today as people who claim to be the people of God whose hearts belong to God? Can we be the bold ones to step out and say, God, I need your strength to do this. I don't want to do this, but you're calling me to do this, so just help me and lead me in this. And it will bring transformation because our God is that good. And that was the word that he placed back in July upon my spirit, is that perhaps there are unreconciled relationships within our lives here at CTK and within our families here at CTK. And God is saying, reconcile first and then come to the altar because it's that important to him and he is that good. And so ultimately, I encourage us that today is not going to be the day of excuses, of saying, well, Kyle, you just don't understand. This is going on or this happened. But may today not be the day of excuses, but today be the day of new beginnings. And ultimately, I have faith that God can bring you there. Do you have faith that God can bring you back to that place with him and back to that place with others? Because I certainly do. And so, to close, I just want to pray and read 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has now come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, and God is making his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so, church, if we claim we are a new creation, we realize Christ has done the reconciling work himself because we could not obey the law on our own capabilities, it says in Philippians 3, but we had to have enough faith to trust Christ who did for us. So now we're no longer slaves to obeying the law, but we have the awe before the law. And so now what are we ambassadors to? We are ministers of reconciliation, of bringing God's reconciling message of the cross to the world. But how can we do that without unreconciled relationships in our own life, right? And so, may we bring that reconciliation of God to others in every way we can. And remember that today may not be the day for excuses, but today may be the day of new beginnings. And so to close, I just want to pray for us right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you direct our hearts to your awesome love, to your awesome reconciliation, that you may circumcise our hearts today, God, to belong solely to you, to stand in vertical awe of you, not affected or influenced by the negative things on our horizontal planes. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will tell each and every one of us what you are directing us to. What relationships? What are you saying to us, God, so that we can stand solely in awe of you and no longer give excuses to our relationship with you or to others. Thank you so much, God, for this miraculous work and that it all directs us back to the cross. And may you, Holy Spirit, strengthen us to reconcile with those that we've hurt or those that we've been hurt by. I pray these things in your Son's most holy name, and God's children said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cal, for that wonderful word. Let's give him a hand clap. Thank you.